Hi, I'm Brandon Johnson here with Diane Moss, and this is Project Good Food. Each episode, we sit down and discuss what redefining a healthy, inclusive, and sustainable food system looks like right here in Southeastern San Diego's Good Food District. Today, we're going to talk to Candy and Sharon of Drew Juice and Nancy of Fresheria, three impactful women food entrepreneurs that have a relationship with Project New Village and the Good Food District, both in different stages of growth, but doing great things in their community. Welcome to Project Good Food.
Hi, Nancy, how are you today?
Hi, very good, thank you.
Good, good. I want to thank you for taking the time to join us. As you know, we have Ms. Moss here, Diane. And I guess we'll just start real easy. Could you tell us a little bit about Fresheria and your business?
Yes, sure. Well, I'm happy to be here. And I'm very proud of Fresheria because I started this business 10 years ago. When I came to this country, like 20 years ago, I started working in a taco shop. And when I was working in a taco shop, many people came to the restaurant and asked me for healthy options, for a healthy food. They told me they have health issues, like diabetes, high pressure, and different kind of problems. So I saw the menu and I don't see many healthy options for them. So that's when this idea started on my mind. Like this community needs better options, better food. And then I moved to work on a different area and the same thing happened. People asking for like fruit, fresh fruit, like salads and things like that. So I started my own business before like now I know we had more options like healthy food, but 10 years ago, we don't have many options. And I started working on my menu and I was looking for a place where we can start. We started in La Jolla, but was because it was the only place I can take on that time because, you know, for open a business, we need plant business, capital and credit, many things. So it was the only place I can start. But as soon as I can, I open in the area in San Diego. And I'm so grateful to see how people love Fresheria and how the community respond to us. And we have been growing. We are 5 locations now, and this is just because the people love Fresheria. And we love what we do for the community. And we try to give fresh food, healthy, but with a lot of flavor. So that's how we start. And thanks to the community, we have been growing up.
I must say, thank you for everything you've done. I actually love Fresheria. I've been eating there for years, and I've just loved to see how you grow. I'm curious, that first location, I know you said it was a little bit of a challenge, you know, getting approved, getting the loans, but what made you choose that specific location for your first store in that community?
I choose that location because it was the only place I can take on that moment because I don't have many options because when I call to different places to see if they can show me the place, they always answer, we need to see your bank account first, your credit score, and your business plan. But on that time of my life, I don't have any of those things. I have just love opportunity to do it. So I find that place because someone else was selling his place because he was not doing well. So I take the opportunity. And what was a good opportunity because it was a challenge for me to start in La Jolla. I learned a lot for that community, more healthy options. And yeah, I learned a lot. So I do many updates to my menu. And when I came to this area, to San Diego, Chula Vista, I have a much better menu to offer to the community.
Okay, thank you so much. I love that, especially since you don't naturally come from business and weren't sure what steps to take. I think that's really a beautiful testimony of sticking with something, having a vision, and then seeing it through. Let me ask you, there's probably a lot of people who listen to the show who may be interested in business or finance. Can you tell us, what do you think it really takes emotionally and financially otherwise to not start a business only, but to grow it and, you know, and make those changes as you see they come in?
Well, it's not easy. It's hard. It's a lot of hard work. But I guess when we believe in something, we can do it. I work very hard. I was in my business open to close for like 3 years with no days off. And knowing the people who can, my customers and all this helped me to grow up. And I start with no salary, with no paycheck, nothing like that. But this is, was not easy, but was very hard work. I guess that's the secret, hard work.
What's the timing on when did you open your second location? And when did you know it was the right time to make that move to grow?
Well, when I started my business, I started just like because I want to offer like a healthy food for the community. And some friends of my husband and I, they offer me the second location because they have that place for rent. I say I'm not ready to open a second location because I had just 8 months with the first one. And they told me, take it. It's going to be a good opportunity for you. And I think a lot. And I say no. And then I go home and we talk about it with my husband. And the next morning we say, okay, let's do it. And we call our friends and we say, okay, we're going to take the place and we're going to open a second one. And was the best decision we have been made on our life because was our second location in San Diego. And I guess it's the best one because people love Trecheria. But I was not ready when I opened the second one. I just say yes to the opportunity. And yeah, it's how happened the next one and the next one, just because the people want us there.
And to make these moves, what does your team look like? I know there are people that prepare the food. There are various aspects to the business. What does your team look like?
I have the best team.
Yes.
Ever. Yeah. I don't know how this happened, but I had a great people on my team. I had people with us since we started the business. Wow. And I feel very proud to see that my people, my team, loves Fresheria. Like our customers, like myself, and they make her job with love, with passion. And I guess they believe in my husband and I since day one. And that is a great part of the secret, having a great team, because I know my team loves Fresheria. I can see this and I feel so grateful for my team because My team support us, and they do a lot of work to be successful.
That's wonderful. You know, I'm curious, you have these different locations, and are there different needs, or do those needs and dynamics, are they different based on where your location is? Are the customers wanting different things? Or is it that you find you can appeal based on your current media anywhere you are?
Yeah, it's different. Each area is different. And we can see the customers for each area. We call it like top items for the menu. And it's almost similar to each location, but we have like a more like La Jolla, for example. La Jolla sell more like natural juices, like salads, wraps. San Diego location, this, everything goes good on that location. And yeah, but each area has different customers.
Okay.
When you talk about San Diego, is that that's your store on Logan?
Yes.
Logan. Okay.
Yeah. Yes. Sometimes I say Logan location, but some customers tell me that's not Logan. This is San Diego. Some people call National City location. So I'm not sure how I had to call that area, but I say San Diego, but I know it's Logan and 47.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You know, there's all this talk about rising food costs and our food systems and tariffs and even immigration policies. Have you had to be creative at all with just the changing landscape and how you price and sell and keep it affordable but profitable?
Yes, that has been a challenge because especially when the COVID happened, we have a lot of challenge finding the products, everything go high. And we try to keep our price the low we can. My husband always told me I prefer selling more than winning more because we try to be on the average for everybody. So we can see many of our customers daily on Fresheria, not just once a week, once a month, but I can see many faces every day in Fresheria, and it's because we try not go up with the prices because we have like many other places close to us, especially in La Jolla, and we can see like they have a like let's see natural juices for like $14 to $15, and we are just like $7-$8. So we try to keep the price as low as we can because this is for our community. It's not just because we want to make money, but we want to create this for the community. And I know if the people's happy, everything is going to be good with us.
You know, I go mostly to the store. I've been to your Bonita store and I'm going to go to La Mesa, but I go mostly to the store on 47th. And Logan, and I know that there was an accident there that kind of like smashed in your front, but didn't seem like you guys closed. Seemed like you were still open to the community. How did that go?
Well, it was a challenge for my team. It was not easy. It was really hard days, but I can't close because I know the community love us and need us. But I refuse a lot when I had to close because I know it's people looking for us. They make their plans. They okay, I go to have breakfast or lunch or any of the foods of the day in Fresheria. And if we were closed, they miss us. So I try to open and we rent a food truck. It was really hard when I had to be there and I saw the process they are doing to keep open. I said, well, it's not easy. It's not easy. It was really hard, but we did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My community kept showing up. There would be lines outside in the back because that front area was closed, but it looked like business was continuing as usual.
Yeah, that's why we were very grateful with the community too. We're part of the community. And I know the community is what makes for Sharia.
Mm. Can you tell us more about that? It seems like your space, you're more than just a place to eat, to drink. It is really a community space, even with your pricing. How intentional was that from the very beginning?
Well, when I'm a star, I just want to have a business where I can offer a healthy options for the community. My main goal never was like make money, make it rich, and things like that. All these things haven't happened with the time, with the hard work. I was looking just to have like my own and my own job, like be my own boss, to can make my own schedule, things like that. And even I was thinking like I'm going to be working forever inside of the place, like maybe not open to close like in the beginning, but I was thinking I'm going to be there, like my job. But we grow up. I don't know how that happened, but that happened.
I think it's a really good story. And even listening to you, I love hearing how you developed even more as a businesswoman, as the business went on, all the way down to your employees. Are there any challenges that maybe surprised you when it came to growing and hiring more employees, bringing more people onto your team? Because I know, you know, it can be a challenge sometimes when you have so many lives that you're working with.
Yeah, I guess the most challenging thing in the business is having employees, because everybody has their own life, so their own things, family, many things. So we need to work with everybody so that way the things can go good and works for everybody. And I learn a lot. Every day I'm still learning many things. And I just learned what I don't like when I was employed, what I don't like from my previous boss. So I try to not make those mistakes on Trisharia, and that helped me a lot. I think more like people has their own life. They need themselves. They have their own family. They have different needed. So I try to work with everybody. That was the most difficult time in the beginning for me. But now I learn and I know how to do it. And works good for everybody in Fisheria. That was the most challenging thing to learn, to understand, because in the beginning it's like, I'm not going to be just like, I'm the boss, and like I want to be just more like community. Even it's they are my team, we're a team, so we work together. It's not just for me or just the customer, but they are important, like the customers. But my team is my strength.
You have in your business a lot of produce inventory. We grow food in gardens, and we are trying to grow food here. How do you source your food? Is it like local kinds of food? Are you able to embrace local, or how do you, because it's always fresh, it's always good, and how do you source it?
We try to get everything fresh. We have vendors that bring all those stuff for us. In the beginning, we buy everything from Restaurant Depot, but now we have the vendors, they make the list for us. But I always love our local and fresh. I grew up in a little community in Mexico, And I remember the only thing I eat like was not fresh was a tuna. Was a tuna can, and this was on Easter season. So we eat everything fresh. My dad always have the fresh vegetables behind the house. And when we went to eat something, we just go on the backyard and we take fresh. So I grew up with this on mine because my dad showed us how to eat healthy, fresh, and local. And he always tell me about to go back to Mexico and keep that lifestyle. But finally, I learned all those things for my dad.
So somebody wanted to start a business. Somebody were a food entrepreneur and wants to do something in their community that's maybe a little different, and they maybe feel intimidated by the process. What advice would you give them?
Well, it all depends what kind of business, because all business have their own challenge. But the first thing, I guess, is when you know what do you want, and when you know your community, is the best beginning. Because if you know your community, you know what your community needs. And when you do something what the community needs, is always going to work, because you know your community and you know what you want. And that way you can make better things.
That makes me curious about when you choose all of your locations, how important is the community where your next location is going to be? Is there a lot of research that goes in there, thought, or I'd love to hear more about that.
Do you know what? I don't think a lot on the beginning about the community. Many people ask me, how do you have the courage to start in La Jolla? And I say, I don't think about it on that moment. I just want to have my place to start. And I don't think about the community. Maybe if I think about it on that time, was not possible to make it, because it was not easy to be in La Jolla. But I don't think about that on that moment. But now, the Frusheria menu is not just for a specific community of first. Specific kind of people, is for everybody. So I think you need to know your product, and then you're going to know who's going to be the best community to support your idea.
I think we needed you to know that we picked you because you're our go-to person when we have large events. And we want to serve healthy. You're the number one person that we think of in terms of large numbers. Anytime we have 200 meals we need to serve and we want to do something fresh and good, you all come up. So we appreciate you being here and being a resource for us.
Thank you. This is another thing that helped a lot for Sharia, because even if I'm very busy, I never say to no to the people who need like catering, a special order, or if they need the catering early or late, or I always say yes. Even when was COVID and the restaurant was closed, we can just sell to go. I do delivery. I was the driver. I was delivery orders at 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. So I come home. I was pregnant. I had my little baby. And I was doing the delivery with my babies. And I remember I was thinking how people think is having being a business owner was not easy. I'm pretty sure nobody can imagine how was my life with babies on my car, doing deliveries all day. But I never say no. I always say yes, and I always see the way I can do it. So even now, I grew up, I had a team and everything, but if I had to do something, I did it. I always say yes to the community.
That's wonderful. Well, let me ask this final question, unless anybody else has one. I'm really curious, when you imagine the legacy of you and your husband and Fresheria, what do you hope that the community will remember about you? And what's next? What's next with Fresheria?
Well, we always think we are busy enough to do something else, but we always thinking what is next. Like your mind never stop. And when you are entrepreneur, your mind never stops. You are always thinking what's next. And I always say I'm busy enough, but more things are coming. I have another idea for the community, for because I want to offer more things for community. And yeah, more things come, not just for Fresheria, but for the community. We have another ideas.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Well, I just want to say thank you for your time. I don't have any other questions, but I really appreciate it. I really appreciate the wisdom.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me here. I feel a little bit shy because my English is not good and I don't feel like confident to speak sometimes, but was the thing I was stopped me to say yes to this interview, but that's one of the things I wanna start doing more, like be present, learn English. This is my goal to this next month, because this is a goal I wanna to complete as soon as possible, because I always busy working. So now I know this is important to me. So it's something I wanna do it, and hopefully soon I can give or this information or this interview much better.
This was great.
This is great. It was an inspiration, honestly, what you're doing in business and the food systems. I thank you. I'm inspired.
Thank you.
Okay.
Welcome, Candy and Sharon, to Project Good Food. Glad to have you here from Drew Juice.
Hello.
Hi.
So I guess we'll start getting a little bit of introduction. Can you tell us a little story about your business, maybe what inspired you to start it?
We are a cold press juicing company. And what inspired our juice is my now 8-year-old son, Drew, who it's named after. He's on the spectrum, and a lot of children on the spectrum, they have a lot of trouble eating things. They're extremely picky. His diet consists of Ruffles, chicken nuggets, and french fries. So we tried to find a way to incorporate fruits and vegetables into his diet, and we started to juice them. So after we started juicing them, everybody would come over and say, hey, can I get one? Let me get one of Drew juices. And we're like, no, you know,
they're
just for Drew. And then they're like, okay, well, I'm coming over tomorrow. Can you make us a batch of some Drew juice?
They was like, we'll buy it. We were like, no, we don't sell.
Hmm.
Oh. It was like, yes. They were like, how much? We're like, how much do you have?
How much do you think they're worth?
Yeah. And then it literally came from there. I invited her to dinner one night and I was like, I got a business proposal. And yeah, I was like, let's start a business. Let's sell juice. And she was like, I'm in.
So you found a need and you said, look, let me start finding a solution for that need. And
yes,
it was very personal and from home. Let me ask you, before we get too much into Drew Juice, have you started other businesses or was this your first business that you started?
So I'm a serial entrepreneur. So like I always got some grandiose idea and hoping, you know, somebody do it with me and stuff. So I wrote a children's book with my daughter. I have a YouTube channel that I run. We're trying to start family assisted living care homes. Every week I'm coming up with a new idea. Like, hey, you know, let's do something. We're just all about trying to create generational wealth for our children, for one, yes, and financial freedom for ourselves since we're both veterans. She's a veteran. I'm currently still active duty. My clock is ticking. My mind is constantly ticking because I retire in 6 months and I'm like, dang, what am I going to do? What's next? What's next? And I'm like, every day I'm like, something's got to hit, you know? So everything is all about, yeah, this will hit. I was like, okay. But that's really where the basis of it comes from. Just us being in the military, we're constantly doing stuff and trying new things. So when she got out, she started going to nursing school. And I was just still sitting in the Navy, not really knowing what's next. And then a hobby turned into a profession.
Yes.
So I've met you at the Lemon Grove Farmers Market. What's your connection to the communities of southeastern San Diego? You're veterans. Are you from San Diego? Where do you all yield from?
Kind of now.
Yeah. Kind of for me. I've been here for 10 years. And my son, he goes to school. Well, is it South Beach? He went to Lincoln High for all four years. So I was definitely, you know, always going up and down Imperial, I used to say. So it definitely is home now.
Yeah. And this is my first duty station 20 years ago. So I was here for the first, 6 years? Mm-hmm. And then I went to, Washington State. Then I went to Las Vegas for a while. And I went to Texas for a while. And then ending my career back here. So I knew I always wanted to end things in San Diego where I started. And it just lucked up this way. Like, San Diego has just always been, home for us. And we knew that, a lot of people tell us, you guys should go mainstream, go sell in stores and stuff. But we actually love going to the farmer's market. Like, we like the community aspect of it. I like talking to people. I like asking people to taste our sample. I love when they say they don't drink juice and they don't like healthy stuff and they hate beets. And we're like, try our stuff, you know? And that's, it's really, one of our favorite parts. Even if we did decide to get inside a grocery store or something, we're not never going to think we're too big to be at a farmer's market promoting the brand, because the community is everything. And that's who supported us. That's our market. That's who supports us. So we're not even thinking to go way outside big yet, because we got so much love here. And especially Miss Joyce, she welcomed us with open arms to the Lemon Grove Farmer's Market. And the first day we went, so we've been to a few farmer's markets before then. And they were okay. But when we got to that one, we didn't even start yet. What is the first thing I said when I walked in?
This feels like home.
Yep. Just from the people around us, they were so welcoming. We were the other people, a couple other ones went to, they weren't that welcoming. They were kind of filling us out. And we're okay, we're extra friendly. So we're hi, walking around. And people were standoffish a little. So the way they welcomed us, I was this is it. I feel like we at the house. This is family, on our first day. So
we're not, I know she said us being, we're not from San Diego, but we're right up the street because we're from Los Angeles. Yeah. So we're still Californians.
Yeah, we're California through and through. So, yes. And I lived in the Bay Area. I'm all up and down California. So from the top to bottom. So.
Mm-hmm. I'm feeling very connected to you all. I'm originally from Los Angeles too. I lived my whole adult life here in San Diego, but I came here. There you go. But one other thing that you all said that piques my curiosity. So I'm glad that you're liking the feel of this community, because, you know, we are embarking on putting our own neighborhood grocery store. We're going to have to sell some product. So a year from now, you all might need to sell your product with us. I mean, because we got that same vibe, same community.
Yeah.
It'll just be at another scale. Think about it. Wow. I'm just putting that out there.
Okay.
We're definitely interested in going. If we did go into the grocery store, we would definitely love to be in a community store.
Yeah, definitely some type of co-op, something. We don't want to go too big.
Y'all know you're on tape, and we're gonna air this, so everybody's hearing this. I'm gonna be in touch. We're gonna do this.
So I got the LA connection too. I still got my 323 area code. I used to live over there in Lamar Park. Yeah. I'm from San Diego, but I live in Lemur Park. And honestly, seeing what Lemur Park was, even what it was a decade ago, just continues to keep me inspired about what we could have here in San Diego, just that community. Yes. Mm-hmm. And seeing that community and wellness is such a big role in your business. Let me ask you, how are you currently sourcing ingredients for your juices?
Wonderful question. We source our... So let's start off with our mangoes and our pineapples. We have to source those from the grocery store because we haven't quite found a mango tree here in San Diego. That's pretty good. But we do source a lot of our fruits and vegetables from Project New Village.
Yes.
So much to sort that we have a specific drink that's dedicated directly to Project New Village. It's called the village vibe. And it's 100%, it's 100% fruits and vegetables from the garden.
Yes.
And we go weekly.
And that's our number one seller. Everywhere we go. Wow. Everybody loves Dot Drink. And I'm like, oh, thank you. And we just stumbled upon that drink literally at the house playing around with leftover fruit and vegetables, because one day we were out there and you guys were passing out like pomegranates, and you guys were like, here, take five. And we was like, we don't really use pomegranates in our drinks. And they're like, just take them. I'm like, okay. And then we had oranges and then we had some apples, and I just, my daughter was like,
our secret oranges.
Oh yeah. No one knows. When we put our recipes out, we always just put on their oranges. We don't let them know that they're special. What's the name of them again? Bowden.
Ugly ones,
gold nugget.
Only at Project New Village.
Yes.
So we just love, like,
and we always wanted to, as soon as we got there and we seen the truck, we said we want to get a drink, because we would put different fruits and vegetables in it, incorporated into different drinks.
Yeah.
So we was like, we want a juice that's exclusively only
just that truck. Mm-hmm. We really wanted it. And we stumbled upon it just by the kids being thirsty one day, asking, can we get some juice? And I was like, no, you know, we make our own juice. And I was,
he's our chemist.
Yeah. I'd be in the lab here. And I was like, all we have is an apple, two apples, a pomegranate. And I was like, I'm going to try this. And it came out so good. And I called them. It was like 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
I was like, y'all got to come over. I'm going to bring some juice by tomorrow. Wait, I don't have any more though.
And then we loved it. So we were like,
yes. He doesn't like everything. We're going to admit that. So, and when he says it's a hit, we're like, all right, we can sell it.
Wow. Let me ask you, you guys, y'all are dealing with refrigeration, perishable goods. You know, this isn't the easiest business to start. So folks may be interested in getting into the food space. What does it really take financially, emotionally, otherwise, to really build and sustain a food business today?
I would say our biggest issue was definitely gatekeepers. Mm-hmm. Like, this is definitely a job that everybody can do it. Anybody mm-hmm. could, you know, go out and sell juice. But when we started off, we didn't know where to start. And it took us months and months and months to just figure things out. We bought the wrong permit for $800 trying to figure out the right permit, because we were being no refunds still to this day, trying to figure out and navigate how to get to where we are right now. And like literally every day we're on ChatGPT, we're on Google. We will ask other people that are selling juices, like, where do you guys get your bottles? Where do you? And then people are just like,
I don't know.
I'm like, you don't know where you got your bottles, girl. Yeah. I'm like, oh my gosh. So I think that if you could find a mentor in this community, that's the first thing you should look for before you waste all the money like we did, waste the time like we did. Just find a mentor, which is going to be hard, but they're out there. Like if somebody called us today, like we've had a few people that reached out to us like, oh, how'd you guys get into Lemon Grove? How'd you guys? And we're like, oh, here's the blueprint, because we hate how we were done. So,
and also us being in the military, it's all about mentorship. So coming to the civilian side, seeing that everybody is, they hold their information super tight. We were so
shocked. Like, wait, why are you don't want to help us? Yeah. we're in Lemon Grove. You're way over there. Why do you want to help us? You know? So I think that's definitely step one. Find a mentor on somebody doing exactly what you're trying to do, and they're successful at it. And then pick their brain. I told her at one point, I said, I don't care. Well, let's start telling people we'll pay them to give us information. Mm-hmm. Cause at this point, I'm sick of running in circles. And so luckily she's kept going down to, I don't even know where you go to get that permit, but thanks. Wherever she goes, she kept going down there saying like, this still didn't work. This is not the right stuff. We didn't get the right inspection. And finally someone at the front gave us finally the right correct information.
Yeah, they held our hand.
Yes. And we needed that. And the minute we had our hand held, we wrote everything down because we knew one day somebody's going to hit us up asking these same questions, and we wanted to have everything to give them. And that's step one. You definitely need to have some type of financial saved up. We started off just paying out of pocket. Then we expanded to go into like business credit card and stuff like that. Zero interest for a year. So we got time to pay it back. And we don't go too hard. We don't, like you said, we work with a lot of perishable items. So we can't never just buy in bulk. We got to buy a little bit and a little bit and a little bit. So you got to really be financially savvy to make sure that you don't overbuy. You don't like it takes a lot, but I would just say it's definitely doable because we just literally woke up one morning and said we're going to start a juicing company. And after 4 months of horribleness, we finally got it. And it's been going good ever since. So mentor, number one. Yes. And you should flourish after that.
This is your first year of operation?
Yes.
Yeah.
Has it been 6 months?
I took her to dinner in February. Mm-hmm. We started permits in March. I had surgery in July.
Yeah.
Well, I was recovering from surgery in July. So probably the first weekend of August, the end of July, we got word that we got the final permit. Mm-hmm. And then we heard been applied to some farmers markets and we got in. Mm-hmm. And they were like, we'll do a little trial with them. And we're like, okay. And I will tell you now, we'll go back to the question beforehand. Our first farmers market event was a disaster. We're gonna write a book about it one day. It was such a disaster.
What were some of the things that made it so bad?
It was trial and error.
Yep.
So we all took the classes, the food safety classes, the food handling, everything. My husband, he's the food manager, and I tell you, he's so strict.
He's so strict on us. He's always telling he's gonna write us fines and stuff. Yeah. So we have to like be super, super on our A game, you know?
Yeah, he's like, are those the same gloves from the last group? We're like, it's the same drink.
No, change gloves. We're like, okay. But doing all that, we made 80 juices, and it was our first time even making that many, and we knew this was a big farmer's market. And we get there and we didn't make sure the refrigerator was closed good the night before.
For the amount of drinks that we had.
And so it was closed good. I'm sorry. It was closed good, but we didn't make sure the temperature was correct. So because it was so much in there, the temperature raised and didn't stay as cold as it should be. And we were like, okay, check the refrigerator, check. Everything's good, check. We did it all. Everything was amazing. The next day we looked at the drinks, beautiful. Okay, put them in the thing. It was amazing. And we get to the farmer's market. And if it was not for my daughter saying, can I have one? And I was like, no, these are for sale. So we're excited. It's our first day. We're the first ones there. We was there 3 hours early. And she was like, can I taste one? And I was like, yeah. I was like, oh, let me get a little bit first. And I tasted it and the taste was off. And I was like, open up another one.
No, the second one, she said, this one's good. It tastes like soda.
We're like, oh, yeah. I didn't know. I said, it tastes a little like soda today. That's weird. And they're like, soda? That's carbonation. And then I was just like, I mean, not carbonation. Sorry. That's fermentation. And I was like,
he's looking at the bottles. Are the bottles expanding? Something's
off. I was like, oh, my God. Yeah. It was a disaster.
A whole bag.
All 80 drinks.
But we had to go out smooth. So we had to get really creative. And we had someone do a cohort mission, and they're like, they were really loud. I want to buy your whole stock. And we're like,
really funny.
You can buy all 80. We didn't let them know that.
Yeah, we did so bad on our first day. And they're just like, wow, you guys sold out in the first hour. We're like, yep. We said, never doing that again. Never coming back here.
Yes.
But that was our first time. And normally, after a big disaster like that, you would just give up, pack up. It was $25 to leave early. And I was like, I'll pay it. I don't even want to see people walking up, you know? But we were like, no, we can't do that. We got to see this through. Let's at least stay here all day, which was torture because it was so, everybody was coming up to us. We want to taste, we're just like, but staying there is why I think we stayed in this business and we didn't just give up and say, what were we thinking? Making more than 10 drinks. But it was because so many people came to the table and was just, we saw the need again. Everybody was coming to our table like, you guys are out. You guys don't have any. Oh my gosh. When are you back? And they didn't even taste it. And we were like, okay. Okay. So it's a need. We're tripping. Okay.
And it's also not an easy business because things like that, they come about all the time. If you don't properly refrigerate things we have temperature gauges everywhere. We woke up one morning and we had to make an emergency call to the garden and say, oh, yes, we need 50 oranges right now.
Like 8 a.m. on a Saturday morning. Yes. It's like, we need 50 oranges because one of the drinks went bad. overnight. And we still to this day, we're not sure. We've been trying to Google, trying to figure out everything. And they said one of the fruits could have been bad, just one, you know, and the whole batch is going to go after that. So we definitely, before we bottle, we do taste testers. We shake it up. We all make sure our palates are completely clear. Taste it again. Make sure nothing is off, because the last thing we want is someone to get sick or something to happen based off our stuff. I'd rather trash it all than someone, you know, have a bad batch. So yeah, we had to redo. We had to be at this event at 0900. And at 0800, I was bottling up the last things to go meet them at the event. And I had to call them at the event, like, this drink is bad. Stall. I'm about to run to the store. Paul, get the oranges, everything.
And guess what? Relationships help that. Because they were able to at the truck. He was like, okay, I'll put some to the side. We had my mom go pick them up. Yep. And we were able to... You know, having community relationships, if it wasn't for that, we would have been stuck, because like we said, certain ingredients that we have, we only source them from specific places.
Right. So we can't have this drink. If Jonathan don't answer the phone, we don't have this drink then. And he answered, I'm a lifesaver.
So one of the spaces I live in is financial literacy, and you guys speak on that in various ways. You mentioned financial freedom, generational wealth, and your family and what you hope to leave. So let me ask you, beyond just profit, what does success look like for you?
Oh, that's a good question. Mm-hmm. I would say beyond profit, success looks like for me when it comes to this business, just empowering the community to go towards the healthier lifestyle. A lot of our, especially even our family members, when we told them we were starting a juicing company, the first thing they always ask us is, oh, what alcohol can I mix it with and stuff? And even when we go to certain events, that's all they kind of care about. But they're looking for the bar. They're constantly looking for the bar. And we just are trying to promote the healthy lifestyle and healthy living and try to make it a norm. And it's okay to walk around and, you know, drink your Drew juice by having a glass of tequila and stuff like that. And recently I was reading something about, a water company who decided to put their water in a can. I don't know if you guys ever seen it. I forgot what it's called, but he sells his water. Yes. So I was telling her about it because I thought it was so, it reminded me of us kind of, but you know, he pours his liquid death in a can. So people will feel cool drinking it, and you feel cool drinking water when you're amongst everybody holding beer cans. And I think I like to think of us like that too. We try to keep our stuff vibrant and bright. And we try to have catchy names, and we make sure our bottles are cute, and we try to make sure our aesthetic is nice. Because when you buy certain drinks, a lot of people, the aesthetic, you know, oh, look at this. They got a new blue alcoholic drink and stuff. So we want you to feel cool when you walk around with your Drew juice too. And especially a lot of events that we go to, hydration is one of the biggest things, and they're out there pouring other things in their system. Then, you know, they're sweating their tails off, and I'm like, you need this. And so we just want to empower everyone to just go the healthier lifestyle, just so we could be more healthy, live longer, and teach our children that it's okay to not drink the Capri Suns. We bought little Capri Sun containers ourselves. We put all our own juices in there for the kids. We are big on zero sugar, everything. Mm-hmm. We don't like sugar.
We don't sacrifice taste either.
No. And that's another thing. When we started this, my main focus, I was like, what's going to set us apart from other juice companies? And I think our biggest thing is we make sure taste is a part of it. A lot of people, you might go and they, as soon as they see our green drink, they say, oh, I don't like green drinks. Those are always gross. Try our green drink. I don't stop in the lab until it tastes to a kid drinks it and they think it's okay. And I'm big on that, because health doesn't have to taste bad.
And one thing for me, I know you said when you were the question, the original question as well, I've been in the Navy I was in the Navy 10 years. She's almost 20. Our children, that's normal to them. They're like, okay, you go to work. But since we've started the business, to see our children's reactions, for them to, can we go to Drew's Juice mm-hmm. today? Can we help sale? And we're teaching them how to be entrepreneurs as they're under 10, and they're already like, they're learning how to count money. Yeah. They're learning how to do transactions, how to be nice to customers.
Yes.
And they have so much pride and ownership.
Yes. And we have Drew out there a lot, because this is working on his skills of talking, his people skills, period. Mm-hmm. And we had him out there on his birthday and he did so good. He shocked all of us. Even though he's a little aggressive with give me money and stuff, but besides that,
take this one.
Yeah, he was trying to just, here, you're going to get this one. But I was just so shocked that he was even talking to strangers. So if them seeing us be not just moms and not just, you know, Navy sailors, like that's all they see. They know we have a job. They never seen us work. But for them to actually see us get dressed and go out and work, and they see us making money and providing for the family,
they help,
and they get to help too. They feel so empowered when they're up there. And we definitely just want them to see, like, this started off in the kitchen. Now look what we're doing, you guys. And it's gonna.
We can't wait to pass it down to them, so we don't.
Can't wait. I wish they was old enough to work the summers and stuff for us.
Yeah,
but they're tiny.
We have a long way to go.
I don't have other questions, but just an observation. You know, I got in the food justice movement around 2008, mm-hmm. and many of the women that I saw got into this business or started growing their own food because mm-hmm. they couldn't find what they needed for their children. So you're standing on the shoulder of a lot of women who have gotten into the food movement because of their children. Thank you.
I love that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, this was inspiring, honestly, in more ways than I could even count it. I'm glad to know about Judy now and have met you two ladies.
Thank you so much. Thank you guys for having us. This was amazing.
Well, that was a good show, Miss Moss. You learn anything?
I did. You know, it's like I said, it's more than going for the profit. These are real people doing real things because they love it. It's the love of it's what makes them move, right? That's refreshing.
Absolutely. I think what I picked up most is that if you go into this just for the money, it may be difficult. And it seems like a difficult road anyway, but having that purpose and passion allows you to work those long nights and those long hours to really build something that seems like it's been a blessing to the community.
I could just say I'm really inspired by the energy and the ingenuity it takes for these women to make their businesses thrive. I'd love to see them thrive right along with other foods and make it big in our communities. I thought it was like fantastic, these conversations.
I'm leaving inspired, and it really makes me think of Fannie Lou Hamer, our North Star here at Project New Village. And our annual gala fundraiser coming up in December that we hope we all see you at, December 12th.
Yes, this year's event promises to be good. It's at City College, and we've got all kinds of things in planned for people, so come out and join us.
And with that, we want to thank you all for listening to another episode of Project Good Food. We'll catch you next time.